I know time's flying by, but I just thought it's so important that Cliff sang that song this morning. Brilliant. Not an easy song to sing, very difficult. But I really oughtn't say much more than that. This says we win. This book says we win. Whatever the giant says to you this morning, this book says we win. This book says you win. Your personal thing. I just, well, if you've got that reading to put up for me, I'm not going to be able to spend much time on this reading this morning, but I just wanted to just set the scene for what I wanted to share for this morning. And this reading is out of Numbers. And we're not going to have time to go through all this morning. But I just want to just give you this scene. Last week we looked at David, and we looked at Goliath, and we looked at the fact is that all David needed was his relationship with his God to tell him that he was a winner and not a loser. And because of that, he was able to approach Goliath. Not just approach Goliath, but he was able to run at the giant and bring the giant down. And I said last week of the importance that we kill the giant. So many of us knock our giants down only for the giants to recover and get back up and hit us again and again and again. And what I wanted to get over this morning is the fact that the church, it's time to destroy the giant. As David did, he drew Goliath's sword out of his sheath and he cut his head off. And it's time, I believe, for in my life and your life that we deal with our giants. They come at us no matter how long we've walked with God, no matter how long or how short that period of time is out there. There are giants who will come up against us. There are giants who will come and stand before us and shout at you and point at you and say, you can't do this. And I tell you this morning, this word, we can get this word into our hearts. This word tells us we can. This word tells us that we win. This word tells us that we are more than conquerors. Not just able to knock him down, but to be able to defeat the giants this morning. And I just want to just set this little scene for just a couple of minutes before I move on this morning. And in brief here, we've got Moses at the entrance to the promised land, the land that God had given for the children of Israel. And here we are at this stage, and the Lord said to Moses, says at the beginning of chapter 13, he said, I want you to send, this is my pre-seed version of it, I want you to send some people in, I want you to send the leaders and go and explore the land that I have for you. And so he chose these leaders and they went out amongst this place, and this is what that Moses said to them in verse 17. He said, when Moses sent them to explore Canaan, he said, go through the Negev and onto the hill, into the hill country, see what the land is like and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many, what kind of land do they live in, is it good or bad, what kind of towns do they live in, are they unwalled or fortified, verse 20, how is the soil, is it fertile or poor, are there trees in it or not, do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land, it was the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and explored the land from the desert of Zin as far as Rehob towards Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Haman, Shesai and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, lived. Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And verse 23, it says there, when they reached the valley of Eshcol, they cut off a branch bearing a single cluster of grapes. Two of them carried it on a pole between them. Can you imagine the size of the bunch of grapes that they cut off? You know, if somebody walked in this morning, you know, and said, you know, I've got an allotment, and this is what it's bearing, we'd all want to go and have a look, wouldn't we? Like, you know, so somebody come in with a bunch of grapes that took two men to carry on a pole. It's not like the bunch you get from Mercadona. I think I've said this before. Or Aldi or whatever. This is a bunch of grapes that is beyond all bunches of grapes. This is God's. God was telling them, this is what I have for you. This is what I have for you. Greater than you've ever experienced before. Mightier than you've ever experienced before. I have abundance available for you, my children. But at the end of 40 days, says in verse 25, they returned from exploring the land. And I've got time to go through. You read it when you get home today. Numbers 13 and Numbers 14. Read what the people did, how the people rebelled. Read about the bad report that was put over to the people and how the people believed the bad report. And Moses then, Aaron then, wanted the people to go on and to fulfill what God had for them. But the people rebelled against them. And the people says no. And it didn't matter how big the bunch of grapes was, how the factories of the land was flowing with milk and honey. They saw the giants in the land and they were prepared to risk themselves. Even though God had brought them out of Egypt, even though God had divided the waters of the Red Sea, even though God had provided so much for them, they were not willing to be obedient. They were not willing. And they were offended that Moses and Aaron wanted to take them into a land full of giants, and were upset and rebelled, and because of it that generation never saw the promised land, never saw, never experienced the grapes, never experienced the milk and honey. They never got there, they never made it, because of their rebellious heart. And church, I really believe, as we at the start of 2013, and I'm here as your pastor encouraging you, that we need to be out and touching the lives of people. We will never build this church. Jesus said, I will build my church. God said, I will do it. I will do it. But he uses our hands and feet, he uses our mouths and the things we have to bring about that. You know, and it's great to be together, to worship you. I look out this morning and you bless my heart to see you here. From this pulpit, we'll never give a mealy-mouthed little word that's going to just tickle your fancy and send you on your way. I believe God has called us to speak the truth in this place and to be different, and to be different. We can be like so many other churches around the world today who just want to tickle your ears with something nice to make you feel good this morning. Maybe I'm not. Maybe you will be offended in me this morning. I pray that you won't be. I pray that you will just give me a chance to speak what I believe is God's heart for us as a church, as we move forward. And God wants us to enter into the land of giants. And for some of us, it will be entering into giants' land to do what God wants us to do. Because no matter how we can get the greatest of preachers into this place, we can stand them here, we can send them out on the street corners and do all sorts of things, but it's going to be the truth of the word that's going to set people free. You know, we can do all these things, and I'm not putting out anybody or anything this morning. I'm just saying, we just need us as individuals in his church, in his body, to catch that he has for us. And we will bring people in. It's because of our witness, our testimony about how great he is and how he enables us to conquer the giants, that we're going to be able to see this church grow. And it's not all about growth. Don't come back to me and say, Andrew, you're all like, I said, it's not all about growth. I'm talking this morning about my personal growth and your personal growth in God. Because if we are growing in God, we will see this church go. We will see his kingdom. We will see what he wants to happen in this place, in this town, in your village, in the place that you live, in your town, wherever you come from this morning. I don't know all of you this morning, but I know that this word says, no matter what your giant says to you this morning, this word says that you win. And this word says that you can do it. And this word says that you can go through. Amen. And you can beat the giant. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to Luke. Luke's Gospel. Chapter 7. Verse 18. Jesus' ministry had just started. He was out there, and John the Baptist, his cousin, had basically just told the people as Jesus came down and that birthing of his ministry here on this earth. And he'd come before the people, John, and he said to them as Jesus came, he said, talked about the one who would come, the straps of whose shoes he wasn't worthy to unloose. And here we are just a few chapters on here from the words that John had said to the Pharisees and the people who had gathered around, the teachers of the law, to see what he was doing out there in the desert. And he said, as Jesus approached, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Folks, behold him. Here he comes. Here is the one that the word has spoken of. Here is the one that I have prepared a way for. Receive him. The Spirit of the living God will rest upon him. And Jesus came to the water and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Here we are, just a few chapters on, and John has spoken up against Herod and his relationships, and Herod had thrown him into prison. But obviously here we see that John's disciples were still carrying on the work and were visiting him in prison. And this is what John says to his disciples, bearing in mind that he had told the people, here he comes, this is the one. This is the one who takes away the sin of the world. And here is verse 18, John's disciples told him about these things, it says. Well, when you look back over these preceding couple of chapters, we see miracles and healings. But we also see, as the people are saying, he eats with sinners. He goes in the places where the sinners go. And I don't know what was going through John's heart, but maybe he was thinking, you know, what's going on here? I'm not seeing the fulfilling. You know, I'm stuck in this prison, and yet this Jesus whom I've preached and whatever, I don't know what's in his heart. So you decide what was in his heart, but there was something that was burning up in John's heart that was really sort of upsetting him, and he couldn't do anything about it because he was in prison. And he says to his disciples, he said, calling two of them, verse 19, he sent them to the Lord, to Jesus, to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Now John had just told him, behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. And here he was. And John, even in his prison cell, had been offended by what he'd heard. And so often, folks, we can be like that. We can be offended by the things that we hear. And I want to speak this morning for the next 10 or 15 minutes. I want to close up, be as quick as I can this morning. I want to be talking about the giant of offense. Because the giant of offense is the giant beyond all giants. I believe it is the giant that wrecks the church. It's the giant that tears the church down. It's the giant that pulls apart marriages. It's the giant that separates leaders and congregations. It's the giant that separates husbands and wives. It's the giant that separates families and children and grandchildren. It's the giant that separates you from your neighbor and from your friends. It's the giant that does all this. The giant of offense. An offense will wreck your life. It will wreck, and I cannot say this, you know, this last week I've had to deal with all sorts of stuff going on, you know, and I could have been offended, and I suppose in many respects I was a little offended, but God showed me something. He showed me in the Word how to just beat this thing, how to defeat this thing, you know, and I just love His Word. I just love the fact is that no matter what giant comes against me, no matter what giant stands in my way, I just know that He is bigger than the giant this morning. Amen. He is bigger than my giant. And I just want to encourage you. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of encouragement this morning. Because if I can do it and beat the giant, you can beat the giants too. There's nothing different about me than you. You have the same Word available to you. It's just how we respond. And yes, we all can fall. We all can get stuck by this thing of offense. And I just wanted to share briefly this morning, because I just sense that if we can break this thing of offense, we can move on as a church. We can move on into what God has for us. You know, don't get me wrong, it's not something that is always here with us. It comes in waves. It attacks us. It sees our weak points. And it manifests itself and tries to pull us down. And if we're not ready for it, if we're not looking for it, we don't know what the Word says about it, then we can't defeat it. But the church this morning, I really believe that we can be locked up just like John in that prison cell this morning because of offense. And we're locked away there, and we're thinking all sorts of stuff that may be going on or may not be going on. And our minds do somersaults about stuff that perhaps isn't even happening, but offense, you see, we can be offended before we've even been offended. Yeah. We can come to church and be prepared to be offended. We're offended before we get out of the car, before we set off from home in the morning. We can be offended when we're going down the town, or going down into Camposol, or to the commercial centre to buy some groceries. I hope I don't bump into so-and-so this morning. You know, we're already offended before we're offended, before we even see them, before they're there. And we can be like that church. We can be people who are walking in this sort of attitude of just... I tell you what God spoke into my heart. He said, offended people live very, very, very shrinking lives. And it's true. I've experienced it. I've been through it. Because when we're offended, then we shut off things. When we're offended, we say, I'm not going to let this get anywhere near me. And suddenly, we're retreating into an area that's very small and very constricted. And it's not where God wants us to be. It's not the place that God is going to release into things, and we're living in this area of offense. We can be in prison cells, like John this morning, and tied up in little places, frightened to go out, don't want to bump into somebody, don't want to see somebody. And offense can do this. Offense can break something in our hearts and just make us bitter and angry. And all these things come to the surface. You know, I just believe that it is a giant beyond all giants. And if we can deal with offense... 5 years ago, we did a series in church in Bondwaver when the church hadn't been going very long. We did a series called The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. And we did this, and I know some of you here will release the Cliff always talks about that. You know, because Cliff, don't be saying it, Cliff suffered with offense. You know, and this guy, you know, I say this morning, not to sort of embarrass him or anything, but that series did something in Cliff's life. It released something, and he often talks about it now. Yeah, I couldn't do almost do anything without being offended by something. You know, Jesus says, in this world you'll have trouble. John 16:33, wherever it is. In this world you'll have trouble. But be of good cheer. Take heart, another version says. I have overcome the world. So if we're in Christ, we can be overcomers this morning. And Cliff learned through this series. You see, it's all right doing series and preaching messages and doing this and doing that. You know, and we were just about to set out on doing Freedom in Christ course here in the church, in the house groups. You see, the Freedom in Christ course will not do anything for you unless you receive it into your heart. Unless you do something with it. We can preach a million messages and it won't affect you until we start putting from our head to our heart that God wants to do in our lives. And I really struggle. I had a correspondence from someone, and I wasn't feeling in myself with all the family disappearing in all different directions at the moment, physical family. I wasn't sort of feeling in a sort of great mood to receive bad news or whatever. But I got a message of bad news. I got a message that really sort of hit me hard. I got a message that really sort of I had to deal with, and as soon as I read through it, and straight away in me something rose up, and I wanted to respond. I wanted to put it right. I wanted to say this and say that. I wanted to write back. I wanted to do all of these things, and I closed it. I got Wendy a Kindle. She's all been on about wanting to be able to communicate with me, and she can't. So I got her one of these Kindles where you can Skype on and things for Christmas, and she's absolutely over the moon. As I think I said last week, for the first week, she never got a look in. I just use it all the time, but now I've left it for her. She's sort of getting into it, and I think it'd be good for her to be able to do things on by herself. And this first week, I got hold of Wendy's Kindle, and I opened up my Hotmail on it, and I put in my Skype on it, and I put everything else on it. It was brilliant. I thought it was fantastic, and I was working away on it. It was lovely. And this message come through on this Kindle. And I got it in the morning, I looked at it, and I got really sort of hot under the collar and whatever, and this offense started to rise up in my heart. And I feel, I said, God, I've got to deal with this. I've got to deal with this thing. But Lord, you know, there's too many buts in the church today. But we want to put this right. But we want to sort them out. But we want to do this. And but we want to do that. I closed it down. I put it down. I went downstairs. And when he said, what's the matter? I said, well, I said, this has happened. And I had this letter. And you know, and I'm sort of really struggling with it. And whatever. And she said, well, just don't look at it again. You know, wait till you get back to Spain. Sort it out. You know, don't look at it. Don't worry about it. And so I was looking at it, and every time I went upstairs, I left the Kindle upstairs so I wouldn't have it with me. Every time I went to the loo, I thought, let's go to the bedroom. He said, check the Kindle. You know. It was the same message, but somehow I thought it would change. Like, you know, no, I did read what I thought. I said, oh, I'm going to do this. You see, And it was like a bit of stinking meat in a trap on the floor, and every time I went for it, something burned in me and I wanted to do something, I wanted to say something, I wanted to respond to it, I wanted to do all this stuff. And I said, no, and so I shut it down and closed it again. And a bit later on that day, I was upset doing something, getting some clothes or something for going out that night, and I thought, just check my Kindle, see if any more emails come through today. I'll just check it again, see what it says. Same message, and again this burning thing in my heart kept coming up, and I kept looking at it. I've got to put this right, that's not right. I've got to say this is what I should be saying, this is what I've got to do. And that went on for 2 days. End of 2 days, I felt God say in my spirit, he said, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But the bit before that, we sit and we see that, and that talks about it. But that's what. See, Jesus said here in Luke at the end there, when Jesus said, he said to his disciples, in my version again, my crazy version, he says to these two disciples who come from John, he said, do you not see what's happening here? Do you not see the miracles? You see the people, the lame walk, you see the blind see, do you see the lepers cleansed? Do you see all this happening? Go back and tell John what you see. And Jesus says there in verse 23, blessed is anyone who does not stumble, or in other versions it's put, not offended. Blessed is anyone who does not get offended on account of me. And church, I want to say that to you this morning. Blessed is anybody here that doesn't get offended because of me, because you will be offended. I will offend you at some stage. You'll offend me. But I believe that we, as a body of Christ, in unity together, we can be bigger than the offence, this giant of offence that comes in. You see, I had to walk past that stinking bit of meat in the trap, and while it's in the trap, it's okay. We can still live with it. We say, Father, I'm bigger than this trap. I'm not going to touch it. Father, I'm bigger than this thing. And it keeps crying out, and it looks really inviting. Oh, but if I could just say, just two lines will do it. No. 1 Corinthians 13. But Lord, and we're almost enticed to respond. And God says to me, Andrew, he says, 1 Corinthians 13. He said, I want you to love that person. And tell that person that you love them. And it should have just... I had to move it from my open email into a file somewhere. Maybe I should have knocked it straight off, but I couldn't, because I had to respond with what God wanted me to respond with. But, sometimes we have to remove something that constantly reminds us of it. This word of truth can help you and me remove that stuff that gets in the way of what God wants you to do. Let's just read this. 1 Corinthians 13. We've just gone through all the spiritual gifts which we've covered before Christmas. All the prophecy and the miracles and the tongues and the interpretation and all that stuff. And right at the very beginning of this chapter here, 1 Corinthians 13, it says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And that's the word that God said to me over this message. He says, if you respond in the way that you want to respond, you will only be a gong and a cymbal. It's just noise. It won't touch a heart. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. And there you have the rest of it, comes there. And verse 11 at the end of it, this banner's not big enough. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I reasoned, thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man or woman, I put away childish things. You know, I really believe that's what God is saying. Church, it's time to put away the childish things. The things that just, you know, because when we finished arguing with each other, like kids, you know, we start playing again with each other, but the parents are still fighting. You know, do you know what I'm trying to say this morning? Sometimes we, you know, the kids fight, we try and intervene, and then we're left carrying the can because the kids have made up and are playing again, and we are still at odds. You know, we can be at odds with people, and odds with people is going to just destroy us. It's going to break down relationship. It's going to break down our lives. We can, as I said, we can walk in offence before we even get offended. It's an attitude of heart. You know, as I said, our world shrinks, bitterness creeps in. Many times the people that have offended us don't even know they've offended us, but we're still walking in that offence. We're letting it hurt us all the time. We're letting the giant kill us. If we don't deal with that, it will destroy what God has for us. We will never touch our community while there's offence in our hearts. We'll never make it into the promised land. We'll never experience the giant grapes and the milk and the honey because we're fighting all the time with ourselves and our circumstances. Praise God. It's an act of our will, I've written down here, not to take the bait. I choose not to take the bait of offence. I choose not to. I choose to love. I choose to forgive. I choose to even to say sorry first. And boy, how many times we've had to do that in our marriage relationship and over our lifetime so far. You know, it's hard to say sorry when you feel you're not the one to blame, but I tell you what, it can be the key sometimes to breaking offence big time. And that's, you know, even when you're not the one that you feel that started it, go and say sorry first. Go and do what God's word tells you to do. And there's a couple of scriptures here as I close up this morning that really touched my heart as I was like preparing. And one of them, Ecclesiastes 10:4, not going to go there, but I'm going to read it out to you. It says, calmness can lay great offence to rest. You know, we need to stay calm with each other. You know, if we're calm about a situation, a flare up, you know, it says calmness can lay great offence to rest. Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offence. 1 Corinthians 13, love never fails. Everything else around will fail. Love is the killer of the giant of offence. And if we can learn to love each other, no matter what, we'll kill the giant of offence. Proverbs 19 verse 11, it says, it is to one's glory to overlook an offence. It is to your glory and my glory to overlook it and say, okay, you know, I love you in spite of that. It's not going to affect me. You know, some of you here in this building today, probably in the next 12 months, will get offended by something I do or something the church does. And you'll maybe feel like I'm going to walk away from it. And God had to speak to me once, many years ago, about that. And he said, Andrew, you will take the offence with you wherever you go. You have the opportunity to deal with it. Opportunity to sort it out. Because wherever you go with it, it will follow you and go with you. And nowhere will be right until you deal with it. Nowhere will be right. And that's the same about many, many other things too. It is to one's glory. And I'm sure the angels in heaven and Father himself says, wow, brilliant. Brilliant, Andrew, you did well. You know, you never took the bait, it was there and it was crying out to you to snatch it out and grab it and run with it and respond, but you didn't. Not in that way. Church, you're not who the giant says you are. You are who God says you are this morning. Not what the giant says, it's what God, it's what the Father says, what the Word says you are. Don't believe the words of the giant. He's in the song this morning. He's crying out to you. He's saying, you're going to fail. And he said, no, I'm not. This word tells me I'm a winner. I'm an overcomer. I am more than a conqueror. What power do we have? And this is my final scripture. I've got a lot more, but I want to finish with this. And this is Ephesians 1. And this is my scripture that I believe that is the key, along with 1 Corinthians 13. Ephesians 1, and I can read from 17. And it says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That's you and that's me. His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. The same power, as I said last week, that raised Jesus from the dead is that same power that is going to help us to defeat the giant of offence. Church, we need to kill it. We need to cut its head off in Jesus' name. And every time you look at that, so often I felt like putting a new banner up there because I get a bit fed up with it. I lived with it in Rugeley for years. And we brought it over here to Spain when they changed their colour scheme. I believe the colour scheme we have there is just right. Amen. It says, love never fails. Let's just pray together. And I just really believe, church, that if we are willing as individuals here to beat this giant of offence, I believe this year will be an amazing year. Not just for you individually, but for this church and for the vision we have of just reaching and touching. Our motto as Victory Church is to reach, to teach and to mobilise. I believe that this year is a year of reaching. Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, we draw a sword of the Spirit this morning in our individual hearts, and we cut off the head of the giant of offence. Father, help us to understand this. Help us to sink into our hearts, into our very beings, that we live out this in our day-to-day life, in our relationships as husbands and wives and members of families, our church family, one to the other, to our neighbour. Father, I pray that, Father, that this church will be different, not only by its preaching and teaching, not only by its faithfulness to your word, but, Father, because we are a people who not only hear the word, but do the word. So, Lord, I pray that you would raise up mighty men and women of God in this place. I thank you that there are many here already. And, Father, I pray that those that are mighty will become even mightier this year as we take on all that you have for us. Free us, Father, from the guilt. Free us, Father, from the effects of the lives that we've led. Free us from these giants, Father, we pray this morning, that really restrict and prevent us from moving on. And Father, I pray that as a church, in the Spirit, right now, we cut off the head of the giant of offence and say, be done with you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.